Whatever, Dave.
Whatever, Dave.
Whatever, Dave.
Okay, say yeah, Dave.
Whatever.
Whatever, Dave.
It's the Whatever, Dave Radio Network, wherever fine podcasts are ignored.
I'm back!
Well, look who
when, when Rich turns my mic on, I'm back!
Look who decided to join us.
Oh my goodness.
You've been gone for 2 weeks, you don't even know you gotta wait until the microphone's on until you start talking, Dave.
Dave, you suck.
He just
got caught from the Broncos, and now he's on the practice squad. So who sucks now, Kendall Hilton?
Oh, my gosh. You're kidding me.
Sucks now?
Dave,
thank you.
Some people would say that we're the practice squad of podcasts. So.
I'm just saying, cut from the team, but he made the practice squad.
How you doing, Dave?
Dave is back.
He's on fire.
Dave never had a groove, but if he lost it, I would say that he got his groove back because he is on fire.
Suddenly, Dave has a great job.
You know, Dave's acting so confident, I might have to start treating him with some respect.
Wow! I won't have it, Michael.
Yeah.
Rich, I got to put my foot down.
Rich will be my co-sponsor
would, like,
when I
change the whole show.
Yeah! Rich is my co-sponsor for when I feel like treating Dave with respect.
Thanks, Rich.
You're welcome.
Oh, it's good to have Dave back because I don't know about you, Richard, but I had to put an immense amount of effort into the show.
It was a nightmare.
When Dave was on.
And where was Dave?
He's at home! Washing his tights!
Sounds like he had quite a few tights that he had to wash.
Yeah, that was quite the golf trip there.
Yeah. Cool. No one cares about golf. I got to ask you guys a serious
question.
I got to ask you guys a serious question.
That's kind of serious, Dave.
Yeah. Is this what you've expected? Is this what you expected? Looking back on your life, I remember back when I was in school and it was back to school time, and it was such a bummer. And I always said to myself, "Man, I bet you back to school time when you are an adult and out of school is just absolutely wonderful."
You know, I have a niece who's going into first grade.
Yeah.
All right. And she, when you ask her if she liked kindergarten, she said that she liked being in her preschool and daycare better because kindergarten was kind of boring.
Yeah.
I can't tell you the immense joy that I get out of saying to her, "Guess what, Olive? Going back to school soon. How you feeling? How's your summer been?" And she is like not happy at all.
Dave's turned heel.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I get immense joy from it.
I mean, I just remember, as a child,
Dave, you suck.
Shopping for new school clothes, because for me, I got new clothes twice a year, once for back to school, but it had to be winter clothes, and then once for spring. So doing my back to school shopping at Kohl's or Burlington Coat Factory, and just being so extraordinarily depressed.
You got to go to BCF? Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Huh. Is BCF high-end?
Apparently.
I always thought it was like a TJ Maxx, like a second-hand, not quite thrift stop shop, but like not quite Kohl's.
I always thought that they had some nice stuff.
It's up there.
But man, was back to school shopping depressing as a kid. And I'd be looking at these folks who I could tell were way past their 20s saying, "Those people never have to go back to school ever. Their whole life is a summer vacation." Little did I know that once I reached adulthood, my whole life is more like the first day of school than summer vacation.
You know, I had it double bad. You know, you had the regular school clothes,
yeah,
but I had to also go shop for religious school clothes.
No.
Because my mom thought, well, everybody else could wear whatever they wanted.
This is the year Dave gets accepted to private school.
We had to wear, you know, a little bit more dressy.
Right.
Religious
school
was just a nightmare.
Yeah.
Wow.
But, you know, I would do anything to get that feeling back, or at least get that feeling that I thought I would get as an adult, not having to go back to school. That I even suggested to Richard the other weekend, maybe we should just go to the mall and watch all the kids who are miserable about going back to school and, you know, just feel really good that we don't have to do that. And then I asked my niece, you know, where the kids hang out at the mall. And kids don't hang out at the mall anymore.
Yeah.
So that option's off the table.
I have to tell you, though, Every once in a while, well, I shouldn't say every once in a while, quite frequently, I have nightmares and I'm back in school and I forgot to do a test or whatever, and I will wake up feeling really relieved that I'm an adult and that all I have to do is go to a job. Isn't that weird? Because it's kind of like the opposite of how you feel.
Yeah.
Like, I'm relieved to know that all of that is behind me now. I don't have to write a paper.
Right.
I don't have to take a math test.
Right. The worst that happens if you don't want to do something at work, all they do is fire you. They're not gonna call your mom. They're not gonna send home a progress report. The only person who's mad at you is yourself.
Suddenly, Dave,
you know,
has a great job.
It's interesting because nowadays you can't even like everything's like online, or the teacher will email your parents.
Ugh.
I mean, the days of like getting the mail first and hiding the bad progress report or whatever.
Would you do that?
So my brother had what he did is he took the door and he made a hole in the wall from the doorknob, and he would shove every bad progress report card, bad note down into that.
Wow.
I can't imagine.
Did
whoever moved into that house, or if they ever had to go in to re-insulate or whatever, all of the bad stuff they would find.
Didn't your mom, though, know that the progress report, at least the report card, was coming?
Wow.
You know, I don't think so, to be
honest. Let's get her on the horn now.
We get Freda up on the horn, huh? What do you think?
I don't think that she knew what
was
going on.
Which brother was it? Was it the locally famous one, or the one that lives in California?
Oh, yeah. No, it's the locally semi-famous one.
Yeah. Well, and he's doing the best in life, so.
The successful Rieger is the one that's out in California.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest.
Well, he's doing better than us in life. How about that?
Yeah, for sure. 100%. Yeah. That's why I call him the successful
Rieger. I couldn't get away with any of that stuff. My mom knew every move I made before I made it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But nowadays, it's like they can log on to the school portal and you're done. There's nothing you can, unless you're smart enough to hack into the system and change stuff.
Imagine being these poor teenagers. When I first started driving, of course, my mom was like, you can only drive this car to school and work. And then, of course, you'd either say, I'm going over to so-and-so's house after work or so-and-so. And then you drive all over the place and hope your car didn't break down 30 miles from home. Well, now kids can't do that anymore because of GPS and sharing your location on your phone.
Yes, you're tracked.
Adolescence has to suck terribly right now.
I mean, if you're any sort of parent that's monitoring what's going on social media, where your kids are, you can't get away with any of the stuff that we used to try to get away with back in the day.
Anyway.
And it's making us sound quite old.
I was going to say, now that we sound like a bunch of geezers, why don't we get into your stack of stuff there, Dave?
Well, I'm very...
How you doing, Dave?
See if we remember how to do this,
Very
Richard.
Interested on both of your reactions to this story.
Well...
So, apparently, a Pennsylvania... emotional support alligator. Yes, you heard that correct. A support alligator is up for America's favorite pet.
Wow. Is an emotional support alligator for people who just want to end it and get killed by an alligator?
You know, his name is Wally Gator. He's a 7-year-old reptile who hails from the city of York. And he loves to give hugs. And he's currently in the lead in a new pet popularity contest, America's Favorite Pet Animal Kingdom, which includes animals of all shapes and species.
How big is this alligator?
This alligator, I'm going to assume, is a regular size alligator that goes for walks and has a TikTok following.
Cool.
68,000 followers
Holy
on TikTok.
Smokes.
And
this
is
going to end up like that whale from Blackfish from SeaWorld, the one that killed like 3 different trainers.
Right. Oh,
right.
Yeah.
That's
right.
What this remember that old it's not that old. Remember Chris Rock, he did this stand-up bit talking about Siegfried and Roy and how everyone said that, the tiger that attacked Siegfried or Roy went crazy, and he goes, that tiger didn't go crazy. That tiger went tiger. That's what's going to happen
exactly.
with this alligator.
That was Montecore. Montecore the tiger. That was the name of that tiger, yeah.
This alligator is going to kill someone because
it's an
alligator. And then the thing's going to get euthanized.
Thank you.
This
is what I told my mom.
Yeah.
She's like, this is so cute. This is a pet. This is a website, America's Fave Pet.com.
Yeah, no thanks.
Tell me this thing's name on TikTok. I'm going to look it up.
This is
Coco.
This is Wally Gator.
Wally Gator.
Wally Gator on TikTok.
Wally the alligator.
Yeah, Wally Gator. And so if Wally Gator wins America's favorite pet, he will receive $10,000 and a two-page spread in In Touch magazine.
Wow.
All right, so I'm looking at this alligator, and it's not full grown. Mm-hmm. However, it still could take somebody's hand off.
Here's a picture of Wally Gator right there.
Oh, right. He looks much bigger on that picture.
He's smiling in that picture.
I'm looking at this full. He's a little bit bigger than Clarissa's alligator Elvis on A Course Explains It All.
Forgot
now,
about
right
that.
Behind Wally Gator in this contest from America's Favorite Pet is a chinchilla named Churro.
Yeah.
A rescue dog named Hank.
Now, these are the other contenders.
And a tamed wild Mustang named Sundance Sunny Kid. These are your top four.
A Mustang like a horse?
Yeah, exactly. Like a horse. Now,
so how does a horse become a therapy? Don't like
how does a chinchilla become an emotional pet animal?
Well,
I think
because,
that
like,
these people
hold a chinchilla.
Yeah, I think these people are using this emotional support tag
right.
to be able to take them on planes, to be able to take them to work, to be able to take them to the grocery store. Do you believe in this emotional support thing with these animals?
I mean, yes, I think it's being abused. As evidenced by your story. I mean, I'm watching this. Number one, these TikTok videos for this sweet alligator, and it does look docile.
They take the alligator for a walk.
I know. I'm watching it. It's going into a pool. This alligator is swimming in a pool full of children, and the disclaimer on TikTok says, participating in this activity can result in you or others getting hurt.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, look, I love my little Trudy, my little 12-pound Havanese, but if I catch her on a bad day, she'll snap at me and bite my hand, and it'll bleed.
Yeah, no thanks.
If she was an alligator, my hand would be gone.
If Wally Gator bites your hand,
I'd be Carl Weathers from Happy Gilmore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. You'd be Chubbs.
It's ridiculous.
Exactly.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I said, they're going to get this poor alligator killed because the alligator's going to go alligator, or some kid's going to get spooked, and the alligator's going to try to defend itself. It's going to hurt some kid, and then it's going to get put down. Next topic.
Oh, and by the way, tonight they narrow the everybody down to top 20.
Oh, that's
good.
Nice.
So,
good.
I was looking for something else to do other than watch Joe Biden's speech, so I guess this is what I'll be watching.
There's plenty of college football on. You can watch instead of Joe Biden's speech
tonight.
I
also like that you knew the name of the tiger from Siegfried and
My Roy. First fantasy football team name was the Montecore Tigers. After the tiger that attacked Siegfried and Roy. Yes.
That'd be great if he faced someone named Siegfried and Roy in the championship.
Good point.
Yeah. All right. Next topic, Dave.
Do any of you guys know when the internet was invented?
Was it by Al Gore? Well, a lot of people say Al Gore, but wasn't it? Didn't it go online
it's in the 60s? I think.
Yeah, like the 50s or 60s, and it was used for national defense.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good job, Richard.
The birth date of the internet is widely considered to be January 1st, 1983, but Mike is right.
Well,
if
Rich,
you go
Rich
if
right.
you go to history.com and Rich was correct too. As far back as the early 1900s,
I think 1983 is when LiveJournal was born.
That's right.
Inventor Nikola Tesla.
Oh yeah.
Had the thought of a world wireless system.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
good luck with that.
It's interesting when you read about the in the late 60s, the creation of the Advanced Research Projects Agency Network, which was funded by the U.S. Department of Defense, had the first workable prototype of the internet. All right. And that was called the ARPANET.
The what?
The ARPANET.
Is this the one from the 60s or is
yeah,
this the
from
Al Gore?
The 60s.
Okay.
The
ARPANET.
Multiple computers were able to communicate with one another on a single network. Now, the first time that this was tested was October 29th, 1969. One computer located at University of California, Los Angeles, and the other one at Stanford. Each computer was the size of a small house.
Yeah.
And the simple message, login, crashed the network. Stanford only received the first two letters. So think about this. That this was the way that the infancy of the internet.
Right. And it took over 20 years, closer to 30 years, for it to become like a
usable, workable thing.
Right.
Right. And then in 1990,
Porn.
1998, I'm sorry. 1998, Google was created.
Yeah.
Which was the preeminent search engine.
Right. For Google, I used Ask Jeeves.
I used Yahoo.
Yeah.
Right.
Ask
Do you guys
Jeeves.
Know what the original name of Google was?
Yeah.
Rich,
but
I think
he's not going to tell
Rich,
you.
You're going to appreciate this.
Okay.
Back rub.
Really?
Yes.
I do. Oh, I like a nice back rub.
Yes, I know.
Wow. Well, now, I like how you know.
Well, why did they change the name to Google?
Because back rub sounded too creepy. I don't
know. Back rub it. Back rub it. Back rub it right now. You're going to see I'm right.
The reason they did it was because Google means
image search it.
Google is a play on the mathematical expression for the number one followed by 100 zeros.
Googleplex.
Is that true?
Yeah.
It doesn't say in the article, but it sounds right.
Mike's correct.
Yeah, Googleplex. I remember because I used to, as a kid, I would ask my dad to like, I would give my dad these really high numbers to like. To like multiply, and he would just say it's over Googleplex.
Wow,
really?
Yeah.
Okay. So I just find it interesting that as we're sitting here podcasting, whatever, Dave,
right?
And how the radio station that we work at, everything now is done with IP addresses, and we rely so much on the internet, and how it was around long time before this date that they. You know, say was the birth of the internet.
Imagine being one of these geniuses, one of these visionaries.
Yeah.
Who was working on the internet back in the 50s and the 60s. Imagine being them and seeing what we use the internet for now.
I know.
You've got all the knowledge known to man at your fingertips, yet what the internet does is mostly put out false facts and confuse people. Like
valid
we
point.
Should be.
It's a valid point.
So much more enlightened, but so much more gullible, and we're
point.
So much more confused and misled. You know, the cat pictures and the boobs and stuff are fine. They're cool, but like overall, imagine the shock and horror that you would feel if you invented this internet to see. What we use it for now.
Do you feel that they are disappointed with how we are utilizing the internet and what we are utilizing the internet for these days?
I feel they're dead.
Yeah.
They probably
and if they're and if they are still alive, very
and if,
old.
And if they're still alive, the shock and disappointment would kill them.
Oh, that's a good point.
Would they be disappointed in society for what it has become?
Absolutely.
I mean, I think for like the technical utilitarian function, like you said, us doing this.
2 points for that word, by the way.
What's that?
Utilitarian. Yeah. Very nice.
That's one of the Googleplex words that I know. You know, the way we utilize it for everyday use. Like, I'm sure, you know, they would look at the smartphone and something that used to be the size of a house now fits into our pockets. And how literally everything runs on IP addresses. I think they would be pleased with that. But how it has changed the way that we interact with each other, I think they would be... I don't see how they could be anything other than disappointed, in that at least.
And you make a good point.
And speaking of not treating each other very well on the internet, next topic!
This is so Iowa, by the way, this story.
I've never been, so I'll have to take your word
for it. So the small northwest Iowa city of Sheldon planned to make the opening of a time capsule one of the centerpiece events of its 150th anniversary this weekend.
Ah, the sesquicentennial.
But it ran into a slight problem. No one is sure where the time capsule's buried.
Uh-oh.
They can't remember where it is. They're trying to find instructions on exactly where it is before they just start digging, said Sheldon Chamber of Commerce Director Ashley Nordahl.
Wow.
We think we know where it is, but to dig up concrete in the park where we have such a big event going on, we're just postponing it for a little bit later in the year.
Yeah, it's actually kind of serious.
Are you kidding me?
You think someone might have written this down.
Exactly.
Or maybe they did.
The time capsule was buried 50 years ago during Sheldon's centennial celebration.
Yeah.
And over time, its specific location became a bit fuzzy. Event organizers had planned to open the time capsule during the town birthday celebration Friday morning, featuring birthday cake and coffee. Then they plan to place new items in the capsule and rebury it.
Cancel the birthday cake and coffee. We can't find this thing.
I mean, are you kidding me with the story? The other events will go on as planned, but the time capsule unveiling delayed until workers can find it.
It needs to be excavated.
Yeah, I don't know why, but this reminds me. Remember when there was RoboCop Day here in Detroit?
Yeah.
We crowdfunded this stupid RoboCop statue back in 2010 before people knew what crowdsourcing was. And literally this thing has said to have been done multiple times. I forgot what year it was, but it was right before the RoboCop remake with Michael Keaton came out.
Yes.
We had RoboCop Day in Detroit. Allegedly, they were supposed to unveil the statue somewhere. RoboCop threw out the first pitch at a Tigers game. And then all of a sudden, we got word. There's no RoboCop statue. And literally, nobody has mentioned it since. It's almost like it didn't happen. I feel like I've dreamt it, except you can look it up online and see RoboCop throwing the first pitch out. It's almost like the guy in the RoboCop outfit, like, threw the first pitch, and then they bust him out of town as quick as possible because there's no RoboCop statue, and they've been pimping this RoboCop statue for weeks, and they've got nothing to show.
Now, what makes this story even better is that the city is going to hire a company with an underground radar system that helped the nearby city of Sibley find its time capsule earlier this year.
Wow!
So the neighboring city lost their time capsule. This is a thing, I guess, in Iowa.
They put the same guy in charge of the time capsule 50 years ago.
I know where that time capsule
he
is.
He took their time capsule money and ran. Where is it, Richard?
He's at home! Who washing his tights?
When are they going to unearth that Nickelodeon time capsule.
Oh, yeah. Remember that?
Yeah. When was that? In the 90s?
1993 or something like that.
And how long is that supposed to be down there?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. Well, we're going on 30 years.
I feel like time capsules now with the internet are obsolete.
They're irrelevant.
Right. I mean, TikTok is nostalgia is one of its main pillars. You can literally
100%.
You can literally Google 1990s and see a whole bunch of neon and Dan Cortez.
Those are the first things that come to your mind.
Yeah, I don't
when
know.
You think of 1990s. Dan Cortez.
And Seinfeld. You don't need a 90s time capsule. Just watch Seinfeld. All right, next topic.
Dan Cortez.
I know you both are familiar with Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's no Dan Cortez.
No, he's not.
No, he's not. So a New Jersey man who posed as a former New England Patriots player in order to buy and sell Super Bowl rings that he claimed were gifts to Tom Brady's family was sentenced Monday to 3 years in federal prison.
Aww.
So this guy, Scott Spina Jr., 25 years old, in 2017, he bought a Patriots Super Bowl championship ring from a Patriots player who then left the team. The player I only identified as TJ. He wrote the guy at least one bad check and then sold the ring for $63,000 to an Orange County broker of championship rings.
Okay, so hold on. The teammate's name was TJ?
Yes.
From what? Which? From which?
2016 from their Super Bowl championship ring. So from the 2015 season.
2015 Patriots. Okay.
Punch some numbers here, Mike.
Yeah, I'm looking up 2015 Patriots. And
identified only as TJ.
So is he the guy who's selling the bad merch?
No. They bought this guy, Scott Spina, bought the championship ring from TJ.
Okay.
All right. But so then when he got the ring, he also received information that allowed the former player to purchase Super Bowl rings for family and friends that are slightly smaller than the player rings. All right. So then Spina called the company that made the rings, and he claimed to be the former player. He claimed to be TJ,
okay.
And he ordered three family and friends rings with Brady engraved on them.
Was TJ a player?
Yes.
Okay.
Claiming that they were gifts for Brady's baby.
Uh-oh.
Okay. The rings were at no time authorized by Tom Brady.
You said this was the 2015 Patriots, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Spina then agreed to sell the rings for $81,500 to the same Orange County broker who bought the original ring. contending that Brady had given them to his nephews. The broker later tried to withdraw from the deal because he started to believe that Brady did not have nephews, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office. So back in November 2017, the same day that the buyer tried to back out, Spina sold the rings to an auction house for $100,000, more than he had paid for them.
Wow.
Then they sold in 2018 for $337,000.
Huh.
So on February 1st, Spina pleaded to one count of mail fraud, three counts of wire fraud, and one count of aggravated identity theft for posing as the former Patriots player, falsely telling the broker that the family rings were ordered by Brady, and defrauding him in connection with three wire transfers for the deposit.
Oops.
So this is crazy that this guy went through all this stuff.
I like him.
You know?
So, Dave, I was not listening to a word you said.
Yes.
However, the only player from that team whose initials are TJ,
yeah.
Trey Jackson, offensive guard out of Florida State.
Okay.
He was picked 111th overall in the fourth round of the 2015 draft. And I don't think he started. But he last played in the XFL for Tampa Bay.
He's at home! So, Washington's
maybe it was him. I don't know. But this guy, this is a crazy story.
TJ probably needed the money.
So
yeah.
TJ sells it to this guy who then calls the ring company pretending to be TJ and then pretending to, that Tom Brady authorized him to make rings for his family with the Brady engraved.
Yeah, I feel like maybe they might need some kind of written authorization from Tom Brady in order to do that.
You would think.
Yeah. Is that all your topics? Are there next topics?
That's what we got for today.
All
I'm
right.
Not too worried about it.
It's time for the Would You Rather here.
Oh, yes. We have a special delivery. It was done.
The messenger came in.
Yes.
So would you rather have to dry off after your daily shower with a damp towel or have to wear damp socks once a week? And there's a caveat here. You don't know how or why these things are damp.
Oh.
The socks or the towel or both?
You don't know why either one's damp.
Ooh. I'm going to go with the towel because it's temporary.
Yeah.
Eventually I'll dry off. My shoe's going to be flopping around all day.
I agree. A sock could either be a warm hug or a tomb for your feet. And I feel like wet socks are closer to a tomb.
Oh.
And the damp towel. Now, I'm not one of these people. Like there are certain people where they'll use the same towel after a shower for a couple days. I need a fresh clean towel after every shower. That being said, like Richard said, the damp towel is only for a few seconds, where the damp sock is an all day thing.
Yeah, man.
Bear with me for this answer because there's a little story behind it.
Oh,
please,
all right.
If you could just.
It's actually kind of serious, Dave.
So good to have you back, Dave.
Yes.
So, as you know, I was at a golf little vacation last week and we got rained out while my brother had only brought one pair of socks.
For the whole thing?
For the whole thing.
Now. Now, most people, because I've seen memes about this, and I've done it too, you know, people are like, if I'm going on like a 3-day getaway, I'm packing enough underwear as if I'm going to mess myself three times a day.
Thank you. Now, even though we did have access to a dryer and he was able to dry the socks, he was not able to dry his shoes.
Okay.
Now, so he was playing in wet socks basically the whole time.
This is the brother who hid all his progress reports in
correct.
The wall.
Correct. Okay. It kind of makes sense. Now.
Yet he's still doing better than us in life.
Correct. He did drive us with his Tesla, and we had to stop halfway to charge at the supercharger at Meijer.
Yeah.
Well, coming back, he was so.
He could have bought more socks at that Meijer.
Thank you. He was so disgusted with his socks that he went in and bought some $5 sandals. And wore sandals the rest of the way home. Threw the socks out in the Meijer in Grand. And we were Bay City. In the garbage can. Oh.
So he bought sandals, but no socks.
Correct. But he then told me that the sandals were very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
They were $5 at Meijer. But anyway, due to the fact that he was so uncomfortable with the wet socks, I'm going to say that I would have the damp towel.
Wow. Okay.
TLDR. Too long. Didn't read. Dave. We were you an
way of getting to that.
Yeah. Thanks for getting there eventually, Dave.
You're welcome.
That's what she said. I like that. I made a poor decision. I'll just jump into my Tesla
right,
and go to a Meijer and make another poor decision.
Yeah.
All right.
Guess we understand why so many bad progress reports fill that wall to this day
right,
in West Bloomfield, Michigan.
And yet, here he is driving a Tesla as an adult.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
The world is unfair. Thanks for listening,
everyone. We know it.
So great. I'm so glad that we have Dave Backrich.
Yeah.
The less effort I put into the show, the better. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.